18. John 18. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. I'm so glad I'm here tonight. I'm excited about serving the Lord, excited about doing things for God. I hope you are. I was very, very encouraged last week, mission conference. Man, it's hard to believe it's only a week ago, but man, I'll tell you what a great time we had. I hope that you have some good memories of the Collinses and good memories of the Paytons. I hope that you keep in touch with them. I hope you got their phone number. I hope you call them every once in a while. I know that Tucker and Lauren got real close to them and staying at their house. And I tell you, those are friends for life that you should keep. Hopefully someday you can go to Nicaragua and see the work that God's doing in their life. If you can go to see Bierman's, you can go to Nicaragua. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's a exciting thing. I hope you got to know the Collinses, Angela. Boy, pray for Angela. She's got some big decisions to make in her life. She's 21 and not knowing if she wants to go back to college or not or just stay with working with Daddy. And pray for Angela. You got her number. Make sure you call her. And some of you gals, you ought to befriend her and let her know that you love her and praying for her. Pray for Marty. Marty's a grand lady. If you want to call up and get inspired and laugh and giggle, call Marty up in. She's a great lady. And Jerry, what a humble servant of God. He's done great work. Get their numbers. You can, and it's very simple to do that. Well, the Bible says in John chapter 18, I want to just read a couple verses here. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. Verse 1 again. When Jesus had spoken these words, what words? Well, he said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to be crucified. And he went forth. You know, some things in life you have to just go forth. Some things, sometimes in life that you just don't know which way to turn. I found out that most of the time in my life, I don't know which way to turn. And you just got to go forth. Well, Jesus going forth, he was going forth to pray. He had a special place to go. He had a place that he knew that he could get away from the hustle and bustle of the city, of the great city of Jerusalem. He could get away and get in quietness. I'm afraid that so many times we're so busy with our electronic nuisance that we carry with us, our electronic prison chains that are on us, that every time it flickers, every time I notice that when I start reading my Bible early in the morning, that stupid thing starts flickering. Mine has a light goes off and just flickers and it draws my attention. I have to get away from it. I cannot be around it because it takes my attention off what I'm trying to do. So we live in a very busy, I understand we're a very high, we want to have so much information that's funneled to us. We want to make sure that Trump is not winning or Trump is winning. We want to make sure that Cruz is failing or Lion Cruz is doing this or that. You know, we want to hear all about it, amen. And we certainly want to know that, what's her name, she is not going to make it. But anyway, I didn't say it, but anyway, I thought it, but I didn't say it. But anyway, just read what the Bible says about killing babies and that ought to take care of your vote. But anyway, We live in a very energized society. A society has never been like this before. We've never had any. You know, I remember when I was a boy, waiting and picking up the phone on the party line and waiting for some two ladies to quit talking so that we could use the phone. Amen. Today we get pretty frustrated if we can't even leave an answer on the phone. Amen. But we get real frustrated when somebody texts you the second time. Just talk to me, amen. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples, get this idea now, here's a garden. Most people believe that it was a vineyard. There's a place that they could go in. There was olive trees there. when in 1995 my wife and I had the privilege to go to Israel. We went to the Mount of Olives where this is talking about. They have, the excavators have found a cistern, about a 20,000-gallon cistern that was hewn out of rock by about the same time the Lord Jesus Christ was there to figure out. And that's where they got the water to hydrate the garden, vineyard. And there was a big olive tree there. And olive trees, when they just, the branches fall off, but the stump is still there, and it still grows and grows. And there's an olive tree, they figure, that's over 2,000 years old there. And they figure that was there during the time of Christ. And my wife said to me, she says, honey, why don't you kneel down by that tree? She says, I don't know. I said, well, I didn't get it. And she got it. She says, maybe that's the place Jesus was kneeling. Why don't you kneel down? And I did. And I prayed for my church at Heritage Baptist Church while I was there, and prayed for the families. And everybody needs a place. I don't know where your place is. I wish sometimes you know these little houses they have along the road here? I wish I had one of them, put that in my backyard so I could just get away from the noisy house, get in there and go pray in there. Wouldn't that be a nice idea? Tom Williams did that. He had one down in Belgrade. He had a little house. As a prayer house, you go into it. Amen. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, we'd be a blessing and help and encourage each one of us that we'd have a place to pray like Jesus had a place. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Allow me to make a couple statements here tonight. Prayer has to do with the entire man. Prayer takes on man's whole being. Prayer takes hold of a man's mind. You know, I'm amazed every time I get down on my knees and start praying to God that I don't tell no lies then. I'm not a bragger when I'm on my knees to the Lord, because He knows everything about me. He knows my inside and outside. He knows where I've been. He knows what I've done. He knows where I've gone. He knows where I'm going. And it's an honest time that we get before God. That's why it's so important every day we need to come before our Heavenly Father and say, God. You know, the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of God and find mercy in time of need. He tells us, come on. It's like how many remember when President John Kennedy was in the White House, and his little boy would come right into the head office there at the presidency? That little boy didn't worry about what anybody said. He didn't care about the Secret Service. He just walked in there. And by the way, he was always welcomed by his father. I'm sure that times when David was the king and Solomon would come in and see his daddy, he was always welcome at the throne. I remember the scripture where it says where David was dying and Bathsheba came in and she was just kind of afraid to come in to see him. And he said, come right here, he said to her. You know, God said, my throne is always open to you. You just come. And so we as born-again Christians know that we have every opportunity we can to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find mercy in time of need. Prayer takes in man's body. God's concerned about our body. God's concerned about how we feel. God's concerned how we don't feel. God's concerned about when the little ones are sick and we don't have any idea how to take care of them. God's concerned about those times that we lay awake and wonder and brood and concern. And I liked one old preacher. He was R.B. Clearwaters up in the Fourth Baptist Church of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Great church, grand church. Probably one of the first Christian schools that ever started was in Minneapolis at the Fourth Baptist Church. A lot of those kids went to Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. We got to know them. Dr. R.V. Clearwater said, come down and preach at Pillsbury Chapel, at the college chapel. And I remember him telling a story one time about how that God, He neither slumbers nor sleep in Psalm 121. And he preached about the time that his daughter had a tonsillectomy and how that night he was so worried, and all of a sudden she started to bleed really bad, and she was gagging on her own blood, and the doctors had to come in and do emergency surgery again, and he said, I was so tired of trying to keep this church going and trying to take care of my family and everything, and he said, I was sitting there at about 1 o'clock in the morning watching my little daughter, and he finally said, Lord God, I give up. Lord, I'm going to sleep. You're going to be awake all night. Just take care of her, will you? And he said, I fell asleep in Jesus at that time. He said, you know, sometimes we worry so. We worry about things that we have no control over. I don't know about you, but I travel down this world. I've been at it for quite a while now, and I'm finding out I don't have no control over anything pretty much. I think I do. I boast about the things that I can take care of, but I find out that it ain't true. Amen. It ain't true. It's all in God's power and all His grace. Prayer affects the entire man, and its gracious results. The whole nature of man enters into prayer, and so that belongs to the man and beneficiary of prayer. It is our responsibility to go to prayer. What does God say? I'll answer your prayer. God said, I'll answer. He said, where two or three are gathered, He said, I'll answer the prayer. He said, where two or three are agreement, I'll answer. Many times, sometimes people forget this, but when you're married and you got your husband there or you got your wife there and you say, dear God, I pray my husband and I believe that this is what God wants, you also got the Holy Spirit, amen. And that's three. Amen. So we go to God and say, dear God, here's some things. We pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. My soul, what do you do with grandkids? And you can't pick them up. You can't beat them. You can't choke them. You can't drown them. You're at God's mercy with them. Amen. You don't have too much influence with them anymore. I saw a t-shirt the other day on Facebook. It said, don't mess with Papa's grandkids. I like that. I sent it all to my grandkids on a, what do they call that? Mass text. I sent it all. Man, all of them sent back that. That's right, Papa. Bless my soul. The largest result in prayer is that we come to Him, who gives Himself, all of that belongs to Himself, to God. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a situation, you know which way to turn. I tell you what, it was a pretty tough time for me to go up to intensive care the other day and see Michael on that ventilator. 5 years ago, been there. And all of a sudden, those sounds. Boy, I tell you what, it just brought back some crazy thoughts. And I just had to remind myself that God is in control. And Lord, have thine own way, Lord. Amen. This is the secret of full concentration. Is that this is the condition of successful praying, of the sort of praying which brings this largest fruit. Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's just the time that, you know, it reminds me of old boy that was walking down with 100-pound taters on his back. He was walking down, and guy pulled up an old rickety pickup truck. He said, sir, you need a ride? He said, sure would. So he gets in that truck with the bag still on his back. And the guy said, sir, why don't you put down the bag? Well, he said, you invited me to ride, not the bag of potatoes. You know, sometimes we're about that stupid. Don't you think God cares for you? Don't you think God loves you? Don't you think God has a perfect will for your life? Don't you think that He hurts when you hurt? Boy, when Lazarus died, the Bible said the shortest verse that we would remember, Jesus wept. Jesus cares when we're going through trouble. Jesus cares when we're going through trouble. Man, give it to Him. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. We're not left alone like a heathen crying against a stone image. We are with God. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's so many times we get so concerned about concerns that don't concern us. There's so many things out there that we cannot change. Boy, they sure spent a lot of time on this political thing, but I heard today, I just turned it on for a second. I was looking for a baseball game, to be honest with you. And I heard them say, you know, the way the news is reporting compared to what's happening now, it seems like we can't do nothing about it. Duh. And I thought, boy, we sure waste a lot of time on, you know, a bit. Can I just pull over and park a minute? This deal about going to the bathroom at Target. I never went into Target to go to the bathroom. I think I went there once. I wanted to buy something. I don't like the stand they take, without question. But people have blown this thing out of so proportion. It's not the fact. I don't go to Target to go to the bathroom. In fact, I don't like to go to public bathrooms. There's a guy that worked for the county. I won't tell you what place, but he'll drive for miles to get home before he goes to the bathroom. Is he going to his own house? I said, you're crazy, man. I grew up on a farm. There's a tree places. Amen. But can't you see how people just blow this stuff out of the proportion? Is it crazy? But there's some people taking a point of that and say, you know what? I don't want my little daughter in there when a pervert comes in her. Amen. I agree with you. Amen. Amen. I agree with you completely. But you know what? There's more to life than worrying about a toilet. There's people going to hell. And I think, well, if we spoke them enough and put enough on the Facebook about how people need to get saved more than how that people ought to stay out of Target, I think people get saved. But Satan has a way of starting fires all over the place. Don't you kid yourself. Don't you ever say that I'm for that. I'm not for it. And don't you say I'm for it. I'm just saying that if I spent more time worrying about going to the bathroom compared to people going to heaven, I think I've got a problem. That's what I was going to sit down there and talk to you about, but I just got done with it. In John 18, every step Jesus Christ took on the path he took brought him closer to Calvary. After the institution of the Lord's Supper, what we're going to enjoy tonight, and I enjoy the Lord's Supper. And every part of that evening, we find in John chapter 18, verse 1, crossing of his disciples to the brook Kedron. You may remember that was the brook in the Bible reading and studying. Well, that was the brook King David passed over when he was fleeing from his own son. That breaks my heart. Fleeing from his own son. Rebellious Absalom who'd taken the throne from him. And across that small stream, which was located in the backside of the temple, what an illustration of now Jesus Christ has to cross that same thing because Satan is trying to take over the throne. He's on his way to Mount Olives. The stream flowing on the east of Jerusalem divided the city to the Mount of Olives. There was a garden up on that hill called Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane in the Hebrew words means signify the valley of fatness or a fertile valley or a wine pressed, or olive press, excuse me. Because it was a great hill of olive trees and vineyards. Jesus spent a lot of time there. It was only a short distance from Jerusalem. It had a commanding panoramic view of the city. I don't know about you, but I like to go up on, we call it 3800. I like to go up on the hill where the airport is. And coming off, I see that big old, I remember telling my boys when they were little, I said, there's our mission field. Come off that at night, you can just see it. There it is, great big old, in a big basin. Many times we go up there and pray on that hill. Jesus probably went there because of the quietness, the silence of the hour, maybe at the night. Maybe it was because of the coolness of the night. The idea of place, the solitude prayer. Luke said he went as he was wont. He was accustomed going to the Mount of Olives, enforcing by his example what he had so often done by his precepts, the duty of retiring from the noise and the hustle and bustle of the world to common to communion with the Father. Oh, we miss that so much. Man, we miss stopping. The quietness. Just around all the time, the noise. And the, you know, I'll be honest, I hate living in a city. I'll confess it right now. I'm an old country boy. One of the reasons I live in a city is because my wife couldn't stand living in the country. She's a scaredy cat. She wants 800. She'd want 800 dogs, and she'd want snipers. She'd want 400 locks on the door. She'd just, like her mama was. It's okay. But there's nothing wrong. I like to hear the crickets. I like to hear quietness. I like to hear the dog bark because you know somebody's coming down the lane. It's not the just barking to bark. Someone's coming down the lane. Stinking dogs. Family next door thought at 12 o'clock at night that they'd build a little bonfire out in front of our, out in back of their place next to my dog. So my dog thought it was time to let them know that they weren't supposed to do that in the city. He understands the roll-up newspaper, amen. I have not hit him yet with it, but when I pick it up, somebody who had him before me knew what the power of the roll of newspaper. It's probably that week he went over to Mrs. Hobbs. Every time I say Mrs. Hobbs, he just goes like this. He licks his left leg, too. Licks it. I don't know why. I want you to look at that perfect man, the God man. He had a place that he prayed. And if I'm going to be any more anything like the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got to have a place to pray. I've got to get a place where it's quiet. I've got to get a place away from the electronic nuisances, though they are very wonderful to have. But I've got to get a place. And so do you. If you're going to be like Jesus, you got to spend time in prayer. I'm not asking you to pray 8 to 10 hours a day because you couldn't do it. Can you imagine your house with those little ankle biters and tricycle motors for 8 hours just leaving them alone by themselves? We'd have to have the bulldozers in and clear the place and rebuild the place. But I do think that there are some times when I'm watching my wife, there are certain times that I can do things. When she's taking a nap, then I get all the stuff done. You know what I'm talking about, ladies. And just when you get it done and you want to sit down, hello, I'm here. Find that time. Find the time. My best time is around 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. It's quiet. I'm getting my stuff done. My prayer time done. You got to find it. You got to find it. But you also got to find time that you need your rest. You don't overdo yourself either. So there's really a fine line in finding that time. and every day is not the same. Have you noticed that? Boy, you know, Tuesday's worst day. Tuesday's this. Eh, sometimes Tuesdays not turn upside down to be Wednesdays. Amen. And they turn out to be Thursdays. And good night. You were supposed to do that yesterday. What am I going to do? Amen. Where your dryer breaks. A couple weeks ago, we just got to have that thing going all the time. It just makes us feel good when the dryer's going. Amen. But it's just, I went over to Eklund's. I said, hey, I said, I got a problem. I said, what's that? I said, I don't know. It sounds like the cat got caught in my, cat tail got caught in my dryer. And the guy said, oh, I know what's wrong with it. I said, can you fix it? He said, well, I don't know. I don't know if we got to. He gets over there, checks it out. Sure enough, it was a bearing. Fix that. But he says, you've got a broken fan on your fan motor. I said, you got one? No, he says, we don't. And he says, I can't get one. But he says, I think I got a used one. I asked him to put that used one on there. He charged me the same, but I didn't put the used one on. I got a dryer working. I told him, I said, good night. I said, how soon do you get it? He said, well, Tuesday. And I'm thinking a week from Tuesday. He was at that day. Thank God for that. I said, man, you are something else. I called up the store and I said, I'll tell you, you got some good people working for you. Find your place. You got to find it. You're going to go crazy if you don't have a place. You're going to go crazy if you don't have a time with God and say, dear God, I don't want to. Sometimes just kneel there. Don't say nothing. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. What do I pray? Lord, I'm stunned. And God said, I'll tell you what, I'll pray for you. I said, my son, he'll pray for you. He's your advocate. He's your lawyer. You ever go to jail? I mean, excuse me, not jail, but you ever go to court? And go to court and they're saying all these big words and everything. And you go like, what in the world did he say? Yeah, a lawyer. I'll tell you what he's saying. He's saying $100 an hour. Amen. That's what he's saying. Or $200, $300, $500 an hour. But he knows what he's supposed to be saying. Sometimes you need an advocate. The Father will set for you. Father, help us tonight. Lord, many times as you prayed in the wilderness, you prayed in the mountains, you prayed on the waters, you prayed in the afternoons, you prayed in the evenings, you prayed for others when they said you were too busy. You prayed different positions. You were on your face, you fell on your face. Scripture says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. He prayed early in the morning in desolate places, lonely places. And Lord, you changed when you prayed. In fact, the Bible says, and as he prayed, his fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiments were white and glistening. You prayed, Lord Jesus, while others watched. You taught others to pray. You prayed while others slept. You prayed for others. You prayed when you were in agony. You prayed when no one else prayed. You prayed and encouraged others to pray. And you prayed while others slept in fear. God, help us to be more like you. And Jesus, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you tonight, maybe you need to get back to your prayer time, or maybe you need to start. Maybe you need to teach your children how to pray. I don't mean by tying them down and terrorizing them. I mean just to pray. You ought to teach them to pray when you're in the car and say, let's pray for a pastor tonight or today. Let's pray for Mr. Koshu today. Let's in our car, instead of just doing nothing, let's pray. I remember when my boys, we'd take them to school and we'd pray on our way to school. Pray for folks. Let's pray for our missionaries. Let's pray for the people. Let's pray for the wanderers. Let's pray for the walkers. Let's pray for my Sunday school teacher. Let's pray that God certainly has a way in our lives. Be with our teachers. Won't you find the time to pray? Father, I pray tonight that you'd give us all encouragement to pray and to see that you do your great work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we need to pray. We need your power. We need your unction. We need your fire, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a-